This is the Word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And that is the Word of God. We move from those catechism questions dealing with the nature of God. God is one, and God is Trinity. One God, three persons. And we get now to move on to what God does. We have an understanding of who He is as worthy of glory. And now, what has He done? The bridge between an understanding of who God is and what He has done is built by question 7 of the Shorter Catechism. So question 7 is that bridge that takes us and will take us from who God is to what He has done as we experience it in this world. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. The decrees of God. This is still, we seem perhaps to be laboring in that realm of theology that is beyond our experience, right? We receive the revelation of God. We know God. He has manifested Himself to us, principally in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the decrees of God, as something that stand out there in the being of God Himself from all eternity, and we haven't yet gotten to creation and providence, but these things are critical for us to understand everything that follows. What are decrees? Well, what are the decrees of God? We know that, but what does it mean for something to be a decree? Well, decrees are authoritative statements about what shall be. It carries with it authority and power. When someone makes a decree, it is assumed that they have a position to do so, to establish or to make a rule for things that will and must happen or ought to happen. For a ruler to make a decree is to put the weight of his office behind a plan that he intends to carry out. So when someone makes a decree, when an office holder issues a decree, what is presupposed is that they put the weight of their particular rule in office, their ability to execute it, to carry it out behind the decree. The greater the weight behind the office, the ruler, the more certain that the plan will come to pass. It is said of lawyers that they do not ask a question the answer to which they do not already know. It may be said of rulers that they ought not decree something that they cannot back up. What happens to a ruler who makes a decree that they cannot back up? They are considered what? Weak. They're considered weak. They are considered failures. A ruler has to have some probability of seeing their decree carried out, or else they are considered to have failed and not have power to exercise their office. Now, it's not the carrying out. A decree is not the carrying out of the thing itself, is it? A decree is simply the statement, the plan of what shall be. It's not the execution of that plan. That comes in the next several catechism questions. We talk about creation and providence. They are the execution of the decree. As they come forth in the creation ex nihilo, and the providence of God is rule and governance over that creation. It's an exercise or an execution of that decree. But the decree itself is just the plan, not the carrying out of it. The execution is assured and certain because of the one who decrees it. Now, the decree is said in Ephesians 1 to be before the foundation of the world, to be a matter of foreordination, predestination. As Isaiah 14 also says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, I have planned, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Creation and providence, the execution of the decree, happen perfectly because of the one who actually makes the decree. God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Therefore, there can be no decree more certain than the decree being made by God. Who has more authority and power to execute His will than a God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth? Has He said it, and will He not do it? Says the prophet Isaiah. That the sovereignty of God in His decree, to decree all that would come to pass, is brought into doubt by theologians is a shame. As soon as doubt is introduced into the certainty of the decrees of God, a want of power or lack of wisdom must follow. God must be ascribed to be somehow unable to execute it, unwilling to execute it, come into contest with others who would withhold from Him the execution of it. But if God be as we have understood Him to be from His Word, then the decree of God in its certainty has to be accepted as just a matter of truth. It of necessity. You can't have God being who He is and then have a decree that is uncertain. It is, after all, not foresight, but foreordination. It is a decree. It is not a fortune told by an all-seeing eye searching deep, deep into the future. The certainty of the decrees of God may be is testified by Matthew 24:24. Listen to this verse. It's in the Mount Olivet discourse. Jesus is talking about many things. He's talking about the end times as well. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Now, that word, or those words, "if possible." The power of those words are in the description of the work of the false Christs and false prophets. To say, "if possible," Jesus is sending the attention of His hearers onto what cannot be discounted. That the false Christs and false prophets will come with great signs and wonders and power to deceive. But the words "if possible" also say something else. That despite all of this, which is still under the sovereignty of God, the ground of certainty of election is never shaken or weakened. So Jesus says, false Christ, false prophets will arise, perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. That is to say, it is impossible for the elect to be finally brought into an estate of apostasy. It is impossible to lead astray the elect. Why? Well, for the very reason that election is part of the decree of God. It is one of those things, in fact, all things are under God's decree, but it is something that is secured and made certain by the authority and power of God. It is impossible for it not to be as God decreed it. It's impossible. Now, the decrees, as we see in the catechism question, are referred to in the plural. In the plural because they encompass everything and every event that will come to pass. The immeasurable and incalculable breadth and number of things that are decreed allow for nothing to exist or occur that is outside of the decree. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose. The decrees of God have an aim and direction, and nothing is outside of the purview of that decree. Nothing that will come in creation and providence, the execution of the decree, nothing will come out of it that is not part of that. Ever. As the end of the question says, He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. So they are plural not only because they encompass everything and every event that will come to pass, and which we tend to see in the execution of it as coming both contemporaneously and chronologically in their execution. That is, God's decree is executed with all of these decrees happening, some of them contemporaneously, like they happen all together, all over the creation. Events that are taking place that we don't know about because we're finite. But not only that, chronologically, some events happen that are followed by other events, that are followed by other events, that are followed by other events, so on, so on, so on. For us, they are decrees. For God, it is a whole certain singular plan. So the decrees of God are one in purpose. So I remember first hearing the Shorter Catechism and seeing this as a tough grammatical thing. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose. I want to think eternal purposes. But there is one purpose that God has. All things, all of God's decree, all events, all things that exist are all aimed and directed at one purpose. That being the glory of God. Nothing is decreed but that it is interrelated to everything else. One can speak of something happening right now in a faraway land and say that it is not disconnected from what is happening right now in this room. We lack the ability to draw all the connections because, again, we are finite. But God, in His decree, has settled and made certain His purpose and plan that all those things should work out to a particular purpose, His own glory. Now, God is not said to have decrees and purposes, because God does not have ends. He has one end in mind. If we were to think along the lines of God having multiple purposes, say God's decree is His to achieve His purposes of expressing His love, His holiness, His righteousness, saving some and not saving others, then we have not gone far enough in exploring why. All of these decrees do not end. The decree of God to elect me or you does not end in us being elect. It all comes to His glory. It all aims at that. That and everything else that happens in the world is for the glory of God. He doesn't have multiple purposes. He has one. Now, the fact that we are unable to trace all the lines to get there doesn't mean that He has multiple things, that He has a purpose for you, and He has a decree. He has a purpose for you, purpose for you, purpose for you, purpose for you. Now, there is the decree of God concerning us, but even God's concerning each of us comes and falls under a greater purpose. Next, the decrees of God are not the necessary outcome of His being. That is, this is not fatalism. Some will say that having a doctrine of the decree of God is simply pagan fatalism. It's a charge brought against Christians who believe in the complete sovereignty of God. Now, this charge is particularly set against the sovereign providence of God, the execution of His decrees. But it carries back to the decree of God, because that is what is behind even providence and creation. What is fatalism? Fatalism is the blind necessity of events under a closed system of law. So fatalism says things happen necessarily, not personally. They just happen necessarily. Things just flow out because they have to. There's no rhyme nor reason, perhaps a cause of effect, a way under law that things happen, but it's not personal. The Catechism says the decrees of God are according to the counsel of His will. That the decrees are according to the counsel of His will. They are not the necessary plans of God, who could not do otherwise. God is free in His decrees. The decrees are not who He is, but they are perfectly in sync with His being, His wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So when we think of the decrees of God are not part of who God is. God knows it immediately. It is His decree is eternal because God is eternal. But the decrees don't just issue off thoughtlessly by a God who just thoughtlessly is. And so it was important to add that language, that it is according to the counsel of His will. God was free in each of those decrees, as they have been executed in creation and providence, to do one thing or another, none of which could ever contradict His being. God cannot contradict who He is. But there is at least the idea that He could do one thing or the other. But the counsel of His will comprehends that the decrees of God take place in eternity according to His wisdom and knowledge. So when we think counsel of His will, we should not think that there was a deliberation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit getting together and they have a flow chart. And they look at the flow chart and say, okay, let's start with this, and then we'll go here, and then someone says, I think this is better, let's do that. And then they change and alter the decrees until finally the decrees are perfect. God doesn't change. He's unchangeable. God doesn't grow in understanding. God doesn't mature. There is no deliberation. So counsel is not a reference to a conference of the Godhead. It refers to the fact that God's decrees are neither forced as a necessity nor fatalism, nor are they free of His personal will. The decrees are never free from the personal will of God, even though because they are put into the context of His infinite, eternal, and unchangeable being that neither grows nor changes or is altered. He knows it all immediately at once. All of this Well, the decrees of God are so certain. And if this is something that takes place in eternity, that is, before the foundation of the world, as Ephesians 1 says, if this is something that is there, what does it really matter to us? It's an important question. What does it matter to us? Why do we need to know that God has this great decree that is in eternity from before the foundation of the world, that is established by His wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, holiness, that doesn't conflict with that, that is all at once, that isn't in God's mind successive. God doesn't figure things out and to come up with a plan, but it's all at once known to Him. What does that matter to us? Well, these words tell us they matter in the catechism question. He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Now, let's think about that. Whatever comes to pass. Whatsoever comes to pass. Whatsoever covers a lot. Comfort, it's not always easy to find, is it? The comfort of God isn't always like a blanket being wrapped around you as a small child when mom would take the blanket and wrap you up and hold you, and the comfort just kind of falls on you, right? It's just there, right? It just shows up. There's comfort. God is pleased through His Word to have us mine His revelation. Not mind, M-I-N-D, but M-I-N-E. Mine His revelation for the comforts that He would give to us. The doctrine of the decrees of God, however esoteric that may seem to us, however something that is, since it's before the creation of the world, and certainly before we were born, certainly before our troubles took place, certainly before the trials came upon us, certainly before our own particular uncertainty or times of struggling with assurance happened, before all that, what does the decree matter? Whatsoever comes to pass. There are places in our life where the purpose is not clear, where we do not comprehend how God could possibly be glorified by this, where good seems hidden in all the darkness that we experience, where wisdom seems absent. Whatsoever comes to pass tells us to dig a little bit. Dig not only into our experience, or certainly not foremost into our experience, but dig into God's Word. Dig into something that is beyond the foundation of the world. Dig a little bit into what God has revealed about things we could have never known or fully comprehend. And find in that whatsoever comes to pass, that whatsoever in your life that has come to pass was part of a decree of a God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Whose will for the salvation of His elect is so certain that not even the rage of false Christs and false prophets and the fullness of their day of power can take you out of it. And a love so determined. In love He predestined us. That so whatsoever comes to pass does not deny or reject any aspect of the goodness of God or His love for you. It is under His decree. And He is not a ruler who decrees and cannot make it so. A little digging into God's Word leads you to the God whose decrees are built on the foundation of wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That while it may bring glory to Him in a way that ultimately includes your suffering and your trials and your difficulty, yet in the end, the completion of it is your good and His glory. He has been pleased to include your good in His glory. to include the purposes of saving you and bringing you through this world and ultimately to eternal life as what is not only glorifying to Him, but because God's glory is paramount, it is also pleasing to Him. It's pleasing to Him. Well, not only that, not only those difficult providences of God, those difficult times that have us digging into God's Word and digging into the doctrines that are revealed there, like the decree of God, so that whatsoever comes to pass leads us back on the trail, digging, finding comfort where it may be found and certain to be found. The words "whatsoever come to pass" can also meet the child of God at the place of peace and well-being, which can be a dangerous place when we begin to think that peace and well-being in this life is the purpose of God's decrees. Like the end of all things is found at this moment when life is really good, when things are settled, when trials aren't just pouring over us one after another. That peace and well-being is not the purpose, but as decreed by God, you must dig to see beyond it, to see your own personal and individual life following on, that it must serve ultimately the glory of God. And is it, by your use of it, serving the glory of God? Are we using our times of peace and well-being to bring glory to Him and praise and adoration, and even using that time when we are best able to serve and help others to do so? Even your election is part of something greater. So, if you too are in a time of peace and well-being, you have to dig to find a humility to receive the good that you have and see that it is used for something bigger than you. The decrees of our God from all eternity draw us to rejoice in the certainty of the glory of the One who is all glorious. And to dig into the doctrine is to find ultimately joy. Ultimately find joy in digging in. Because that's our chief end, to glorify and enjoy Him. Because the decrees are not fatalism. The decrees of God are not the cruel acts of a tyrant. They are the acts of a God, or rather the decrees of a God who is defined, as we have seen, as to His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Aren't we glad that the One who has that power and authority to decree and make things certain is such a God and no other? Let's pray. Oh, Father, these things, as is spoken of in Your Word before the foundation of the world, and our minds cannot engulf or encapsulate or grasp the fullness and the breadth of Your decree. But the simple singleness of Your purpose to bring glory to Yourself, to show forth and manifest the majesty of Your justice and holiness and goodness. Father, teach us to dig. Teach us to be willing to mine for the comforts that we need in the doctrine such as this. Teach us to mine for the humility that we ought to have in the times of peace and comfort, prosperity, well-being, that we might find in this Your decree, Your certain plan, something that brings us great, great joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.